broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
This episode is all about Bravo. From Watch What Happens Live in LA to Beverly Hills casting rumors around Heather Locklear. We talk Atlanta Housewives casting, new and returning shows to the network, and an exciting announcement about this show with Amanda Lauren right here. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by Amanda Lauren, comedian and podcaster over on the podcast Things We're Too Lazy to Blog About. Welcome to the rants.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're no stranger to going off, especially on Bravo and reality TV.
I'm the worst.
Well, then, good. We like the worst. We like the worst. So before we get into all of the topics, we really are on episode 90 of this podcast.
Wow.
And for me, that's a lot. I've been keeping this show up in the air along with all these other jobs, and I'm really fortunate to keep it going. But I'm announcing that on June 30th, I am going to be having my first live show celebrating 100 episodes, keeping it 100. That's the theme. And it's going to be here in LA, and every single person is invited to come. More information will be coming out. But save that date. It's June 30th. Tickets and more information will be released on the 15th of May. And, you know, the fine print says everyone is invited except Barbara Walters. So, you know, spread the word. Spread the word. I hate her. She's like my longtime nemesis.
I hear she's very incapacitated right now, so she will definitely not be there.
Well, I don't wish anything bad on her health. That's
no,
too bad.
Who,
but still, I don't care for her. Like, she's just, like, certain people you just don't want at your house. I don't want her at my party. So, too
Screw
bad.
Screw her. She's not invited.
Yes, not invited. But you are over on June 30th in LA. More details to follow. I'm really excited about this. It's really kind of a milestone for me with the show. And I'm always looking to have a party for something. So why not?
Yay.
So here we go. So let's talk about this this week in pop culture or whatever. Just what's catching our attention. Watch What Happens Live was here in LA. Did you see any of the shows?
I saw part of a few of them. I should have watched more. This is what happens. I DVR them. My husband will start watching them, and I'm in the middle of something, and I'm like, don't delete it, and then I never end up watching it.
Yeah.
So I catch bits and pieces.
Yeah, I was there for one of them for that Wednesday doorbell show. Most of the week I didn't watch. Like, I don't care about Snoop Dogg. I'm really not too into, like, Anna Faris's episode. Like, some of it is boring to me. Like, I'm there for the Bravo Liberties. So I was fortunate. I did get tickets. I was there for the right show, and they had the most of them, 31 of them, the doorbells. It was wild. And a few highlights from that whole thing where I love Beverly Hills OGs. I don't know who the current cast is, but I love Adrian, Camille, Eileen. Like, I'm into all of the originals. So that was great to see them pop out. And then Real Housewives of OC OGs.
Love
seeing Vicky. I like watching Vicky in the wild. There's something about just observing.
I like Vicky. I actually had to stop watching last season because Shannon Bador makes me insane. I cannot listen to someone complain about their body for hours on end. Like, this is supposed to be relaxing. And I just, like, I find watching her so stressful, and I just find her so irritating. I had to stop it. But I have to tell you, I want them to bring Lori back. Like, in OCOG, I love Lori. I had, like, a little party at my place when she got married in, like, maybe it was second or third season.
Yeah.
I just love her. I feel terrible for her situation right now. I know she's not going to be back on, but, like, I can hope, right?
Right. And she looks amazing.
Gorgeous.
I saw her. I was at South Coast Plaza, for of all places, with her. And she was going up the escalator, and I was going down, and I just... blonde woman with all this hair and, like, literally, like, 8 bags with the husband and the daughter. And I just was like, wait. So she looks like she has, like, a star quality to her. She really does. I like her. I would be fine with them bringing her back. I mean, I'm not the hugest Vicky fan, but I have such respect for the position, and I enjoy watching her. She's crazy. And then, like you said, with Shannon, you're either on one end or the other with her. You're either, like, diehard, relatable, team Shannon, or you're like, I just can't watch this.
It's just like, it's like when my mom complains, and I love my mother dearly, but it's like listening to my mom or, like, an aunt or, like, an older Jewish lady from New York. And I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm Jewish, so please don't know. People be like, Amanda's anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Semitic. But it is literally, like, every annoying yenta just wah, wah, wah. And I'm like, someone call the wambulance. I can't. I literally, I couldn't.
Like last episode, we were talking about how we don't like whiny people on TV. But with Shannon, I get it. She was pretty much being emotionally abused, you know, and that's it, putting it lightly compared to other things that have been out there. I mean, so I can forgive her for last season. I think that she was really at her breaking point. And I mean, I wouldn't want to be Shannon last season. So, but I get it. I mean, OC last season was borderline unwatchable in general. So, I can't blame you there.
24 hours in a day. Everyone is 24 hours. And I just can't devote even an hour to that.
I hear you. I hear you. That's how I am with some of these other people that we're going to talk about in the same universe. The Vanderpump Rules cast was there, and they had a kind of a fun entrance throwing all the pedals, and it was a lot of fun. I watched it back. It's interesting, though, the power of editing, because they went and they said, let's take a question from the audience. That was all done in the after show. There were no questions in the show because there were so many people on the stage. They didn't do that. But in the air show on Bravo, they said, let's take some questions. And one girl came up and she said, Nene, who do you have beef with on the stage? Anyone? And that's when she got in this huge fight with Reza. Did you see this?
I saw the clip on YouTube.
That's all you need to see.
You know what?
How do you feel about Nene?
I don't find her that interesting. I'm not super in. It's strange. I don't really like the villain housewives. I would say I like the semi-villain housewives. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Erica Jane, okay? I love her. Like a little bit of a shitster. I don't like a complete, you know, pot stirrer. It's just not like... Because then you're just doing it for attention.
Right.
Like because you're like not Dorit. Interesting on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Dorit. Yeah. That's another example of someone who's totally uninteresting if she were not the villain. Like, who cares about her?
I know. Don't even get me started about the husband. I can't even go there about the husband. I ranted on him enough. No. So, Nene and Reza, they have this whole thing that, let me be very clear. I dislike both of them equally. A lot. I don't care for either of them and their egos. I talk about not interesting. I don't find that Reza interesting at all. And, you know, I don't care anything about him. How do you feel about him? Not really.
I will watch it. I don't. There are shows that, like, I really follow. Like, I always know what's going on with Beverly Hills in New York. Shaw's like, okay, there's nothing else on. We'll put on Shaw's. Maybe we'll miss an episode. Maybe we'll watch an episode. But I'm kind of fascinated by Persian culture.
Big in LA.
It's big in LA. And I love, it's really funny because like before I met my husband, I was just like, I want to meet a nice Persian guy and I want to be part of like a nice Persian family. Then I met, and my husband's not totally un-Persian, but I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be, he's more fun to watch than Nene. So I'm going to be Team Reza no matter what.
I got it. Yeah. I'm not a team either.
He's fabulous. I don't find her that fabulous.
See, I've been out and I've seen him out at different events. He's not very friendly and he's not very exciting. In my little bit of interaction that I've had, I just don't really care for him that much. But I mean, he didn't do anything to me. He's just not my kind of guy.
That's so disappointing.
I mean, I don't know. That's just from my experience. I don't know the guy personally, so. But, you know, Nene, though, she's there. Everyone's there having a good time. They're all reuniting and laughing and congratulating each other on their successes. And Nene's over there with this bad attitude, making all these crazy faces, being all angry because of this. He thought she didn't acknowledge him enough when he did his first Watch What Happens Live. And, you know, Nene, I see you. You've got these on-again, off-again relationships with everybody, including your current husband. Nobody on that show has she been loyal to the entire time. When she goes in on these people, she goes low, low, low. It's never like a brief moment where you get into a fight and then you meet up and you chat about it. It's always like she's going to go deep down. She's going to insult the kids. She's going to call Kim's family a bunch of racists. Like, to me, I don't know. I got to be careful what I say on her, but look... Nene, I don't enjoy you, and you have a bad attitude, and you have no class.
I agree. And you know what else? It's like, you get to be a housewife. Like, they're making a lot of money from the show. Maybe have a little bit of grace and just accept it. Like, I think there are so many women who would love to be Real Housewives, and it really bothers me when people resent it Or just like, I get it if you're going to bring the drama because that's a role on the show. But then when you do it off camera, you know, off camera of the show, there's just no reason for it. Yeah. It's like, just shut up, collect your check.
I do agree. Like, you have a job to do, you do it, you're done.
Call it a day.
She said on the talk, she was like, yeah, she's like, well, the difference with me is that, like, I'll go in, but I always go in a nice way or something like that. Like, she really, no, like, patted it. And I was like, no, you're one of the lowest of the low when you get scrappy. So, and it's not fun. Like, someone like Tiffany New York Pollard, who's so great with the shade, she's like, she goes about it in a fun way because, like, she knows what she's doing. But Nene just takes it to a real personal level that I don't enjoy and I don't support. So
there's a way to throw shade and there's a way not to. And, you know, Nene's the latter.
Yeah, you got it. And on that note, let's move on. Why not? That's a perfect place to stop and get into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Lisa Rinna was on Radio Andy this last week, and she Heather Locklear came up. And I listened to this. Did you listen to this clip?
I did not.
How can I say? Rinna brought it up, and she said, you know, I stay in touch with her. I send her texts from time to time. And Andy said, oh, we'd love to have her on Beverly Hills. She said, you know, I check in with her every once in a while, but, you know, there's been a lot of drama going on with her.
Yeah.
She just pleaded not guilty to charges that she attacked deputies who answered a domestic violence call at her house in February. She's in rehab for the sixth or seventh time in, like, the last 10 years. So, I mean, she's not in a healthy place where she should be doing reality TV. And Andy was like, well, encouraging Lisa Rinna, reach out to her.
Oh, no. Now we really want her.
Yeah. And I was like, I know, but can you let this woman be healthy for at least a year or two before you rope her into this mess? To me, it was a little like, I didn't like the tone.
I think it's very unfortunate. I think she would be a really great Beverly. But she lives in Malibu. But then again, Erica Jane lives in, like, Pasadena.
Yeah, Eileen lived in Malibu.
And I was going to say, I think Lisa Rinna lives in Studio City.
Yeah.
And By the way, I was watching something. I think Teddy does too.
I think so too. Because they always seem to meet up in the Valley.
They were at I think it's called Il Metrozino. And actually, like, and I've been there before. That's, like, right on Ventura Boulevard. If you don't know where we're talking about, it's like the main street area of Studio City where all the shops are, most of the shops are.
Just over the Hollywood Hill in the Valley, yeah.
You know, I don't think Heather Locklear would do – I feel sad for her because a lot of people say, well, she's older, she can't have a career. And that just is so – hello, Jane Fonda. Like,
right. Yeah, you're just going to be creative at that point.
There are roles for – older, I don't want to say older women, that makes it sound sad, for, you know, women who are not in their 20s in Hollywood. And there's tons of them. I could, like I said, Grace and Frankie's one. Even like that mom, Anna Faris, Allison. There's so many roles for older women in Hollywood that it's not true. And she just did a show too. She was like a reoccurring on a show.
On a TNT show for a while. Something in Bash. I don't even remember.
Franklin and Bash.
Franklin and Bash, yeah.
Look, there are opportunities for her, but maybe she's really sick right now. And I think that, like, would that make a great Real Housewives of Beverly Hills storyline? I mean, hello, Kim.
Right.
But
it would be, but I also feel like, I wouldn't want to exploit that. And as even as a viewer, like, I know a lot of people were really tired of trotting out Kim with the latest addiction storyline. Like, it got to be a little exploitative. And when it comes to Heather, I watched her in a few interviews, and I don't know if she's housewives material. She's kind of reserved. She's a little bit like an Eileen, like, in the sense that she's like a real girl, but she's not like a Lisa Rinna, where she's like plugged in loud and gonna stir the pot. And she just seemed to be a little more reserved and not a big enough personality, which is not an insult, but, you know, she wasn't as put on.
Even like, I've never heard of, like, there are a lot of celebrities that are not on reality TV, and like, they're out there and they're doing things and you hear about them and you see them. I mean, honestly, either you see them for their personal lives, not just for, like, you know, they're interviewed for their latest role. But I never hear much about her other than, like, when she's working or when she was being arrested. So she probably isn't all that interesting off camera or on camera for a reality show. You know, I hope she gets the help she needs. I don't think a reality TV show is it.
I agree with you, Amanda. I agree. Totally. Yeah, let's not. However, like Andy and Lisa, they do agree we need new blood.
But we'd all totally watch.
Yeah.
Oh, Sharon, yeah. We'd all totally watch.
Andy and Lisa want new blood. We want, I'm sure you feel the same. I need some new blood on this show.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I like the idea of bringing someone on, like, the status of Heather. Maybe
hypothetical
just not Heather.
Heather Locklear.
Yes. Try for that realm of folks, that group.
Yeah.
Lisa Rinna admitted in this interview to carrying the last three seasons of Beverly Hills Housewives. And this time, she took a back seat to, quote, let the two that get paid the most, close quote, stir the pot.
I don't blame her.
Me neither. Lisa Vanderpump hasn't done anything since Bush was in office. So, you know, might as well push her out there.
You know what, though? I love the scenes at Vanderpump Dogs. I love seeing the pup. Everyone likes a cute puppy, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. Like, I'm like, oh, she's sad and she's with pup. Like, no matter what, like, they cut to puppies and it's just automatic joy. And it makes her more endearing.
It helps her image.
And look, this is something she's really doing. Like, I've driven past this place. I'm actually working on sort of an event for them, possibly. It's a long story.
Oh, cool.
Just something that I might do, like, a fundraiser with them for one of the people that I work with. So I'm all for that organization. I'm all for helping animals. I think that's great. But it doesn't really... I mean, I guess it's not all that interesting and it doesn't make you a shitster, but it does always make you look good that no matter what, you're around puppies and swans and everyone likes an animal meme.
Yeah, it definitely helps her image. All right, let's get into my rant of the day.
Rant of the day.
My rant of the day has to go to this Dancing with the Stars athletes edition of the show. What is it, the 26th season? Who cares?
20 million.
I know. And so they all went on. Michael Strahan, they were on GMA. Michael Strahan calls it an incredible cast. Well, I mean, granted, I am not plugged into these athletes so much. Like, I don't really know that many.
Couldn't care less about half these people.
No, but literally.
And by half, I mean all, except for Tanya Harding.
I read the list about maybe 4 to 5 times. I was like, nope, nope, nope. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Never heard of that one. Now, look, as far as like, yes, I know of Adam Rippon. He'll do, I mean, at this point, like, he might as well just say yes to everything. Because I'm not saying he's in
Which
a bad
one
place.
Is he?
He's the out gay ice skater.
Oh,
yeah, he's
like
very
that.
Like opinionated. Yeah, I like him, but like he's, you know, what I feel like after these Olympics to peter out, like you've got like 10 minutes to latch on to projects. So good for him for saying yes, because, you know, these things tend to come and go, and that's just how it goes. Tanya Harding is doing it, and then
of
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Those are the only three I remotely know of.
There's nothing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won't do.
No, that's like Shaq now. He does all those commercials for Icy Hot, and then he pilled it to let him do the General. I mean, he's done everything.
The best are the Chabad telethons, if you've ever seen those every year. Him and Paula Abdul for the Chabad telethon.
Oh, God. Yeah, I feel like he literally was
out
all
of
for
place.
Anything. Yeah. So those are the only three. I mean, it's never. I live for Lil' Kim, but even I didn't even watch Lil' Kim on the Dancing with the Stars when she was on. Like, short of like Britney Spears, I'm not really gonna ever watch Dancing with the Stars.
I have a lot of problems with this show, and the main one is, why is this 2 hours? I can't watch it. I can't watch something. First of all, you have to actually. It's not like Housewives where you can sit there and read TMZ while you watch it or answer emails.
Yes,
you have to legit watch it or you miss it because there's not so much speaking and a lot of moving. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Who has 2 hours for this? Can't they cut this down to an hour? When I always, if there's this is how I watch it every season. There's one person or maybe two people I'm interested in. I DVR it and watch it for a total of 8 minutes and 37 seconds because I fast forward through the rest of it.
Yeah.
And that's only the first two episodes because after that I've lost patience to fast forward every single season. And then my husband's like, do you still want to DVR these by like the 6th episode? And I'm like, never mind. Yeah,
never
stop
mind.
It. Taking up too much space
never
on the DVR.
Mind. Yeah.
Why? I don't understand. Everything now is made for a short attention span. First of all, I don't know why they don't hire the Big Brother Celebrity Edition casting people, because those people are amazing at casting. This show gets worse every season.
Just when you think they've run out of people, it's like, oh, let's pull someone back, like way back, or someone that will do everything. But Yeah, I agree. I'm so sick of it. This show, every season, it just gets like really, really like, and now they're doing this athlete twist, which will lose half their audience.
It's like people that are good at moving. No, the whole point is I want to see people dance badly.
Yes.
I want to see people fall on stage and trip in their heels. And like, they're not going to do that.
You're onto something. They need to get a different casting for this show. They need to get a different casting team because they've exhausted who's out there. They need someone with fresh, new contacts, maybe a little bit more into like new media. You know, as opposed like, to like, these old, I don't know. Has-beens.
I'd like to see Logan Paul. I'm not interested in Logan Paul at all, but I'm like someone maybe, he's a little controversial, but maybe someone similar to him, hypothetical Logan Paul.
Yeah.
A YouTuber, what's her name? I don't like her, but like Nicole Arbour. Someone like that.
They had one of those Vine stars on a while ago, but those people aren't
Nicole Arbour and the Fat Jew.
Oh, well, that Fat Jew, he'll do anything for 50 cents. Ask him and Lance Bass to do it. They'll line up at Television City tonight.
You know what?
I
like Lance Bass. Don't be Lance. You know what? He's adorable. He's sweet. I like him.
I just feel like he'll do anything. But hey, I mean, he's still out there. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about him.
He's not making Timberlake money. Good for him.
You know,
he's trying.
You mentioned being like just fed up and frustrated with the show. What frustrates me is Tom Bergeron. I can't with Tom Bergeron. And he was on GMA with Strahan, and he literally had the cards in front of him, neck down, looking, just reading line by line. Like, dude, you're a host. Look at the cards beforehand or put them in your own words. Like, I don't want to see you having to follow along with your finger reading the words on all these cards and telling, like, you know what I hate about interviews? When they're like, you were on the Olympics and you won a bronze medal and now you're doing Dancing with the Stars. How do you feel about that? It's like, they know. Like, I don't like people telling other people that. Yeah, I don't like people telling people about themselves in interviews, and especially having to read cards. So that, I never care for that Tom Bergeron.
I don't get it. Is there not a teleprompter? Like, did they run out of money in the budget for a teleprompter?
When you think of the money these people get paid to do these jobs, to host these jobs, to even make an appearance on GMA, they're getting paid. Like, familiarize yourself with the material. Like,
you know, I agree. It's lazy.
It is lazy. I don't care for it. I had a same little rant about this last week about hosts who are reliant on prompters and cards and not their own words. I mean, that's what being a host is, unless if you just want to be a robot and just read a script. This has been my rant of the day.
That's my opinion!
All right, let's get into Real Housewives of Atlanta casting. Kim Zolciak told TMZ that she'd never, ever return. Who can blame her?
You know what? I don't know if that's true. Kim Zolciak, I love her. I think of her as the poor person's Erica Jane. Which, by the way, is to not say poor. But she doesn't have Erica money, and the cost of living in Atlanta is... I was, like, seriously thinking about this earlier today. The cost of living in Atlanta is far less than Los Angeles. So, and half the stuff that she gets, everything you see on that show is either gifted or she's being paid. There is not. So she's making money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I think she's smart. I watched like the first season of Atlanta and I was like, no, this is a smart woman, because this is the thing. Her parents are obviously completely screwy if you watch Don't Be Tardy for the Wedding or whatever that was called, okay?
Yeah, two weirdos.
Screwy background, two weirdos. She's a nurse, which shows she has compassion. I think you have to be compassionate to be a nurse. And being a nurse, it's not an easy job, and it's not – now, I don't know what her licensing was, but this is my point. This woman is not stupid. This woman was like, look, either I'm going to be a nurse – and I'm going to make not as much money as I deserve because nurses are never paid enough. Or I can like get into this reality thing, have this windfall, and make this into a profession. And she chose the latter. And that was smart. That was very smart, because she's like, look, I'm not going to be able to pay for my Gucci bags or get them for free without something else going on. And she's weaseled her way into a spinoff. And Don't Be Tardy's been on.
Yeah.
I love that show. She knows she has to stay in the news.
Yeah.
That's why she said that. The only thing I could think is maybe it's really bothering her health, because she did have a stroke or a mini stroke, mm-hmm. but even then.
The plastic surgery is out of control. I mean, just the pictures of her, she's, I don't know what's going on with the look.
There's a lot in her face, and I am going to give her the benefit of the doubt 50% and say, why doesn't she get it done in LA or New York? And I just think she's getting bad advice, and she really likes injections.
See, I think she's just overdoing it. I think she's just got way
too much. That's the thing. That doctor's unethical. Her face is way too injected.
Yeah, she's looking rough. And so much so that comedian Marlon Wayans put out an Instagram picture. Oh, God, did you see this? And he said, no, we are not in production on White Chicks 2, the F. And it was her with one of those big faces that she puts on at the reunion. Of course, the lips are like 2 inches off of her face.
It was a bad angle.
It was a bad photo. And of course, she felt bad about it. She said that it hurts because her and her family are a fan of his. But, I mean, you know, Kim, you know, your look isn't subtle. I mean, you're going to garner attention. You know, there's just no way around it. You put yourself out there, you get what you get. You're a public figure.
Maybe this is the wake-up call she needs to change doctors.
How do you feel about Sheree being rumored to be fired? Andy says that they've got good casting next season, but no decisions. Kenya likely off the show, in my opinion. And I'm done with Cynthia Bailey, so she's my number one to get off.
I haven't watched Atlanta since she left, but I do keep up with the news about it because, I mean, I'm a person.
Since
so.
Who left?
Since Kim left.
Oh, okay. So you keep up because it's the Bravo ether.
Yeah. Like, you know what's going on. It's like you're either watching the reality show or you're hearing about the reality.
Right. Yeah. Unless if it's Potomac and no one's talking about that.
You know what? I have to tell you, though, Giselle was on my podcast. She is such a sweetheart. And I'm really not just saying this. She was on with us for like an hour. I cannot say a bad word about her. She doesn't like the new girl from Potomac. Honestly, I hadn't even watched Potomac until like I knew she was going to be on. And I had to like pay to watch it on like YouTube or whatever because there was no.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I actually really like her. I don't think I'm the audience for that. Or some people call it Portomac.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. But yeah, I mean, it's...
Okay, I'm not being mean, but, like, I was really surprised watching the pilot that some people did not have stainless steel appliances. I have stainless steel appliances. I rent. Like what? How do you not have stainless steel?
I know exactly what you're referring to.
If you're doing a show, I don't get it. Like, you're not going to, like, you know, like, re-zhuzh up your kitchen a little bit.
Or don't shoot there.
Don't shoot in your kitchen.
Yeah.
You know? And it's...
I know.
I mean, look, she's a sweetheart. Her every hue line is really, really... I'm not kidding. That foundation brush is life-changing. I use it almost every day.
Wow. Well, that's good.
She has like other products coming out. She's... You know what? She's the real deal. And I think that without this, she wouldn't care. Like, I don't think she cared. I think this is an opportunity. This is a way to make money. This is a way to establish my brand. Right, this is a way to inspire other women. Because her husband did, you know, her husband cheated on her. I think she's real, and the problem is I think she's almost too real, and just it's not – but the show itself, it's just not that interesting.
No. In fact, when it comes to her, I don't mind her, but I'm like on her adversary side. Like I like Monique Samuels, who she's against. I really like her and on that show, and she's kind of about it. And even at that, it's not enough for me to watch that show.
I call it DC Take Two.
Yeah, it is in a certain way. And it's almost silly that they have to do Potomac because that's the least recognizable name. And
like,
it cheapens the whole thing, the whole franchise, just in namesake.
I mean, look, it doesn't – first of all, it's nice, but it's not like – those houses, I'm going to sound so zombie, they're not even worth like $1 million, those houses.
As far as Atlanta goes, Cynthia Bailey, I'm done with. You know, you haven't watched in a while, as you mentioned, but she hasn't done really much since you probably stopped watching. So she's really overstayed, and I think they're kind of afraid to shake up that cast, but they got to let her go. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, when we return, we're going to be talking about Bravo's new slate that we're looking at what's coming out in the fall. And we're going to be talking more with Amanda Lauren. That in a moment, right here. Now this.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Amanda Lauren, and we're going to be looking at some Bravo shows that are announced. They're going full 7 days a week of primetime original programming, which I was like, okay, I thought that we were already there. I didn't realize that they didn't have like original series on each night, but
I don't, I thought they did.
Yeah.
I don't, I'm mad they
maybe not like Saturday nights.
Okay, but who's watching TV on a Saturday night?
Yeah.
Like, if you're, if your show is on Saturday night, your show's going to be canceled.
Yeah, it like, better be, like, super niche slash small slash no expectations.
No, like, if you, if your show is on Saturday night, no one is watching it. And no one was going to watch it in the first place.
That's true. Well, there are 20 returning shows and 11 new shows coming. Returning shows are Vanderpump Rules, Million Dollar Listing, New York. They never announced Million Dollar Listing LA. That's odd.
And so then weird.
All, which I like. That's like me. Like, I'll watch that. Like, the way you watch Shaw's, where I'll pop in and pop out. That's how I am with LA, Million Dollar Listing LA. And then all the current Real Housewives are returning and Top Chef. But as far as new shows, a couple shows caught our attention. Side note, lots of design shows, real estate. Like, they're like really heavily into this lifestyle
stuff.
They're
stealing, like, HGTV a little bit. Like, they were, okay, so like HGTV was like, we're all about design, and Bravo was like, we're all about real estate, and then they're like, but we should also now be about design.
Yeah, even though Jeff Lewis has been around for a while doing both, but still, like,
I've this is a little
heavy
show.
This is a little heavy as far as like real estate and
but I'm hoping it's design. Like cool stuff to watch, and like TLC I think brought back Trading Spaces.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of like they're just trying to get their foot in that market.
Yeah, which makes sense. But, you know, I'm even thinking back to this live show that they did in LA. I mean, the real loud Bravo shows that are synonymous with the network are these personality-driven shows. So, you know, with pulling in imposters and now pulling in all these design shows, like, is that the best direction to take when your bread and butter are these larger-than-life docufollow personality archetype people?
Okay, so there is a, and I've discussed this with people, there is a cycle of reality TV, and it used to be there was a whole arc, and like you had to watch it from the beginning. You could not pop in and out. And then there were the shows like all the old TLC shows and the HGTV where it's like, you know, every episode is different. You can run it whenever. And those seem to do. So I think like they're just trying to experiment with different things and different formats, because not everyone can be. It's like the 2 hours of Dancing with the Stars. Not everyone is 2 hours for this.
Right.
Not everyone can sit there and watch for a whole season, but you can DVR it or you can watch it, or, oh, it's on, there's nothing else on this summer. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
And you can watch one.
We'll see how they do.
They're diversifying their portfolio.
Yeah. Bravo struggled in this space. They had that divorce show where they had, I can't remember that attorney who was on it.
Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce?
Well, it was too. But this is like that.
Vicky. Vicky, yeah. I know. We've been. Yeah. She's supposed to come on my podcast at some point, and we've never been able to figure out a time.
I like her. But yeah, that show, I can't remember the name of it, but it was about divorce, and it was a different couple each week, so you could pop in whenever.
Oh, my God. What is it called?
Unhappily Divorced. Divorced or no?
Oh my God! I can't think of the name of it.
But like, I don't know. They've, you know, maybe these will work. But anyway, a couple things that caught my attention that I would look at. I'd look at this Untitled San Antonio project because
it sounds like it's about salsa.
Well, this is about the housewives. This is about like housewives that live in San Antonio.
So this was like, they didn't tell them. So this is how they do, for anyone who doesn't know, every Real Housewife show. They cast a show in a city and they say, you're going to have conflicts with a lot of other women, some of whom you know, some of whom you don't, and we're going to shoot it in the city. And then you say to the producers, wait, am I on Real Housewives? And then they say, no, you're on
Untitled.
And then they shoot the show and then they tell, oh, by the way, we're just kidding. It's Real Housewives of Potomac. It's Real Housewives of Dallas.
Yeah.
And this is what happened. And this show was maybe like so bad that we're like, we don't want it to be a Real Housewives. It might spoil the rest of them. So enjoy.
Yeah. It's just
it's like married to, it's like that, the married to, where does that one take place? The original one.
Well, the original one is Atlanta.
Okay, yeah. So they were like, okay, I just disproved my point. I always felt like that was like Real Housewives of Doctors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I get it, like because that's like, you know, ATL Junior in a way. It's like not quite enough to
it's
be...
It's the Diet Coke.
This, yes, this description of the show, this untitled San Antonio Housewives or whatever... It's like women in gated communities interact and with the community and themselves. And I'm like, it's an ensemble show. So what's the difference? So yeah, it's the same thing, but I'll still look at it if it's any good. I'll give it like a,
it gets one episode. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
One episode.
Backyard Envy. I like this because I love anything like real estate in New York. However, I'm not a big Million Dollar Listing New York fan, but
how dare you?
I like some of the people. I don't like Frederick Eklund very much. I don't care for him. The others I'm fine with. my taste is very specific. But as far as this Backyard Envy, that could be nice. It's like renovating people's spaces outdoors in different parts of the country. You know, it could be interesting.
This is what makes no sense. No one has a lot of outdoor space in New York City. I'm from New York City. I had one friend that had like a wraparound terrace. That was it. Like no one is outdoor.
Yeah.
The building.
I take that.
I mean, my building that I grew up in had like an acre courtyard. And I think it was the only building with like a large courtyard on the Upper East Side or one that large. Actually, that's not true. The building across the street, but it was owned by a hospital. So they had like all of this weird space. You'll probably edit that out because it makes no sense and is totally irrelevant. But anyway, no one has lavish outdoor space. It's like you have like a balcony and like maybe you have room for like two chairs and a very small bistro table.
Right.
But
that's kind
no
of what I'm
one
thinking.
Is spending money on this and no one is doing much. Now, if they shot it in like the Hamptons, then you could do really well. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. You're really not allowed to shoot in the Hamptons. It's really hard to shoot there. So maybe they did this on the fly. Maybe they brought in two cameras and were very, very quiet. I don't know. But like, you can't have a whole they have like lots of rules. I mean, you can't have your own party in your own backyard without a permit there. Trust me, I tried to have my wedding there in my in-laws' backyard and we couldn't do it.
Oh my God. I love anything in New York. Like that's my, everyone knows like that's my thing, but I trust them with this, but this is really a show that should be on HGTV, but well, I'll take a look. Another show, one show I'm really not interested in is this Unanchored show, which like they go, it's like a bunch of party boats that circle around somewhere.
Low deck, low IQ edition.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't have any interest in that. It's just going to be more drunk people on Bravo. I'm at my max with how many drunks I can follow on Instagram and all this. Like, I'm good. So I'm not interested in Unanchored. No thanks.
I think the whole concept, the title really describes the whole concept, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't think that's going to last. Maybe I'm wrong. I didn't think Below Deck would last, and there's like four of them. So let's talk with you, Amanda, a little bit. You're a self-described Jackie of all trades and Marilyn of none.
Yes.
So you're into a lot of stuff. You've got a great blog, lifestyle blog, design, clothing. You got a lot of stuff on there. I was looking at the decor portion of it. That spoke to me the most.
That's amazing because I have not that much. I have some decor stuff. I want to do more. The problem is I want to get someone. I live in a very cool space and I do sometimes talk about it on my podcast, but I really want to get professional pictures done and do like a really big shoot there one day because I think it's cool. But I love decor. I'm obsessed. Okay, if you're listening and you do not know what Grant's apartment looks like, it's amazing. It is so well decorated. He has this Beverly Hills Hotel wallpaper on one wall. It's like, I love it.
Thank
you. You have great style.
It's a small place, but everything is specific in its size, shape, corners. Like everything is uniquely like.
It's the same bar card I do from CB2.
It's great. It's great. It attracts a lot of dust, but it's clean.
I know.
I'm always cleaning that stupid thing. But thank you. Yeah, I think that's probably why that portion of your website spoke so much to me. Just like I feel like you get inspired by things, then you want to kind of put your own twist on it and replicate
it's fun.
It.
I try to make it fun to read because I think there's so much lifestyle out there and there's so many fashion bloggers. And I originally was a freelance writer. I'm still a freelance writer, but I'm sort of getting, I kind of changed my personal business plan, which is that everything I write, even as a freelancer, is still part of my personal brand. I try to also be practical about things. I mean, like, as practical as, like, having a freaking lifestyle blog can be, because it's not practical. I have so much stuff, and, like, I know that not everyone has, like, a 20-step routine for their face every night, but, like, I'm going to have at least 3 products that do 4 things.
Right.
So I like to make it fun. I like to make it real. I like to make it more interesting. I'm not I say it's a blog for people with imperfect hair and sometimes unmade beds.
Perfect. I got that. When I read that, I was like, okay, I get her. When I read that part of your website, I was like, I get it.
It's aspirational light, you know?
Yeah. So all these publications you've written for, like, what are some pieces and some outlets that you've written for and about? I'm really curious.
I write for A Sweat Life regularly, and I love them. They are the most wonderful editors. They edit my piece, so it's really well, and it's still, like, you know, in my voice. And I do wellness, fitness for them. I do a lot of beauty for them too, some fashion stuff. I write for horoscope.com. I've written for other websites as well. Which ones? She Knows is one of them. The Kitchen, Real Clear Life. I just did an article about a podcast for that I really like. A bunch of that. It's like a bunch of them. Mm. But I would say if you want my real voice, if you want to really know me, it's my blog and it's my podcast.
I want to follow up on writing for horoscope.com. What do you write?
I write a lot about crystals.
Okay. All right. I was wondering if you wrote the horoscope story about space, like, what? Because they do have writers, which I'm like, okay. But as far as, yes, because I love that meditation space, and I'm really into that right now. So what do you write?
I actually have an article coming out hopefully this week about how you can meditate best for your sign. So you might really like that.
I would be into that. I'm about meditation right now.
How do you meditate? I'm the worst about it.
At work, they offer meditation twice a week. And if I can go, I go.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's 30 minutes, which you need to put in a little bit more time than that. I think a minimum of like 50 minutes. But I'll take it. If it's on a Wednesday at noon, like the middle of the week, the middle of the day, like, I'm there if I can. And I rely on meditation. Anyway, so I want to talk more about this podcast. You podcast with Ali Levine. How did the show come to fruition?
So I always wanted to do a podcast. Like, I've been obsessed with podcasts. I had this day job in merchandising, and I would have to go to supermarkets every day. I had to start work between 4 and 6 in the morning, and I'm not a morning person. And it just sucked.
I can't imagine doing anything
before. It was the worst LA day job. It was so bad. And I would sit, and the job was just not for me. And I would sit in my car and cry every single day. And the only thing, I had this job for 7 months and I was fired. Thank God. And
that's enough.
It was, I don't know how I lasted for 7 weeks, to be completely honest with you.
I know when you're in a job that is just not for you and does not fit, and just the feeling, it brings everything down.
It's really physically intensive, and I'm not like a big person. The whole thing was a nightmare. But the only thing I had really to look forward to every day, because this is how sad my life was podcasts. Like, Adam Carolla saved my life, because I would have him and, you know, I don't listen to the show as much as I used to, but, like, he was one of the first podcasters.
Yeah.
And it was like the one thing that I'd be like, but if I go drive to work, even though I don't want to, I get to listen to Adam Carolla. So I had always wanted to do, I became like a podcast junkie, and I'd always wanted to do one. But I didn't really want to do one myself, because I don't know how people do them. Like, you have a guest on every show, but like, I don't know. I really felt like I needed a partner for this, which is weird because I hate involving other people in anything.
I know. It's tough, but believe me, having a producing partner makes a huge difference.
You know what? It was perfect. And so I was at this party for Us Weekly with actually my ex-boyfriend, who I'm still friends. I always tell people that because my husband was supposed to come, and he's so cool. And he's like, no, go have fun. He wasn't feeling well. So he introduced me to Ali, and we became friends. And, you know, everyone in LA makes plans, and like, no one follows through with them. But we met a week later, and we just started to become, like, she's one of my closest friends. And I was like, you have to do this with me. And she's like, I'm so busy. I'm like, no, we're going to make it work. And we did.
That's great. You did. And you've got a lot of shows. How many are you up to right now?
I think we're 70 something because we were twice a week. Now we're once a week. We may go back to twice a week. Well, we're once a week in a bonus.
Yeah.
We might go back again. I don't really know. Right now, as I was saying off air, we're airing a lot. We banked a lot of episodes. Allie, just if you've never listened to the show before, things were too lazy to blog about. Allie had a baby last week. I guess it will have been 2 weeks ago when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this when it comes out. And so, you know, she's on maternity leave. We're on hiatus, but we have – so we're just doing once a week right now. But
you're smart to bank shows. That's what's so tough with this show. I can't because of just
– oh,
because
it's news so topical.
And, yeah, it's so topical. And, you know, I'd love to be able to do that when I would travel. It'd be so much easier, but it's always – and even at this, I mean, it's hard to find, like, things to talk about week to week, never mind banking up two shows. I couldn't imagine. But that's great because that way you don't fall off anyone's radar. You're able to keep the show in people's ears, on their phones. It's good.
Yeah, it's, you know what, it makes sense for us. Although I'll tell you, we're very open. Like a lot of shows bank episodes and they don't tell you. We're totally open about it, especially if we're doing our fifth one. We're like, we're doing this and we're exhausted, but we're trying to bring you a show here. You
That's
know?
What's so great about being a podcaster, though, is people want that truth. They don't want to have it be all faked. And, you know, like when people do Christmas episodes on TV, like they're not there doing those shows. They say it's live. That was pre-taped in November. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I don't mind.
It was probably pre-taped in July.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like it. No, that's, I think that's the best way to go. It's just, you know, we have a different relationship with people when they're listening to the podcast, I feel like.
I just like people who are honest, and I appreciate that. Like, I don't like it when people, because it's such an intimate relationship. It's, you know, and you're with these people. You're like hanging out with them at least once a week, and you want people to be honest with you. And I would say, like, I'm really open about, like, 80% of my life on the show because I got to keep like some things private. Or eventually I will say that, like, my mom had lung cancer earlier this year and I didn't really talk about it on the show till she was okay because I just didn't want to. I don't know. I
don't blame you. Yeah.
And she is fine now, thank God. But, like, you know, there are certain things you can't. It's hard. It's hard, like, when you want to keep some things private, some things not, or you're like, things are really stressful right now, but I can't tell you why.
Yeah.
And then you kind of feel bad. So I try to be as real as possible.
Right.
Well,
same.
Maintaining my sanity.
Same. Yeah, I put a lot out there. The only thing I haven't said much about is certain jobs that I've had in the past. But once they're over, I'm pretty much open about it. I'm like a meeting of the mind sometimes. And I'm like, here's what I was going through, you know, who knows. But I got to be careful. I have to be so careful, you know, in this business too.
You do have to be careful. But you know what? I think it's more if people like you and if people like what you do, they're going to hire you. Like, if people want to work with you.
If you make money for someone, you can make money for them.
For the next person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, where can we find you? What would you like to promote? What's coming up?
Okay, so Things Were Too Lazy to Blog About. If you just look it up on iTunes, it's there. We're also on Stitcher and a few other platforms, but who doesn't, like, most people listen on iTunes.
Yeah, 65% of podcast listeners do through iTunes or the phone, and it's related to Apple. Yeah.
So, yeah, we're on there. If you go to my blog is itsamandalauren.com. The its is in the URL, so it's www.itsamandalauren.com. I'm at Amanda Lauren on Twitter, and I'm at It's Amanda Lauren on Instagram because I'm not verified on Instagram because they hate me.
I'm at It's Grants Rants. I know that you have to explain, like, what's your Instagram? It's Grants Rants. Grants Rants isn't coming up. It's because it's at It's. I know.
And I feel like people are like, why are you treating us like idiots? Because there are some idiots listening to it that don't realize, or you're driving and you don't realize it. And also, if you just look up my show, all of the links for my social media and for Allie's are in the show notes.
Perfect.
And I'm also doing and seriously though, follow me on Twitter because I am doing stand-up. I have nothing scheduled right now, but I used to do a lot of stand-up in New York and now I'm doing it again. So if
you
find me funny, look at that, and you know, my show dates will be on there.
Good for you. Yeah, well, your information will be in the description of this episode too.
Thank
you can find Amanda's contacts and check her out, especially on Instagram for the stand-up should you be interested. Thank you for the chat. This was a good episode.
So much fun. We can't wait to have you and listen in June. We will have Grant on our show.
Sounds good. I'll be there. And since we're talking about June, don't forget June 30th, the live show, Grant's Rants 100. Plan on it from now if you're interested
just
in coming.
Just get tickets now. Just get the tickets now. Like, you know you're going to go. Just get it. Check it off your list. What's wrong with you?
Well, the tickets will be available on the 15th.
But okay.
So yeah.
Put it in your phones.
Yeah, put it in your phone. I agree. Thank you. Thank you for that endorsement. I like it. All right. We'll be back with more rants. I love you for listening.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.